This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Richard Goldberg of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. We turn to the United Nations General Assembly, meeting for the first time in 3 years, 2020, the pandemic's depths, 2021, a hybrid meeting, but the General Assembly being addressed by the Secretary General, Mr. Guterres, identifying the task in front of the members and what is to be done with so many simultaneous crises. I mentioned that in listening to Mr. Guterres' speech, there was great emphasis in his calendar of events on the upcoming COP27 meeting in Egypt. Also, much mention of the COP26 meeting in Glasgow just last November. Hence, Mr. Guterres was keen on identifying what is not happening about climate change, what needs to be done, emphasizing that we're in transition and that the fossil fuel companies must be put on notice. However, this is in sharp contrast to the reporting out of Europe that the fossil fuel companies are not only at the front line of getting through this winter and perhaps two more afterwards, but also states such as Germany, a vital member of the European Union, have reverted to coal in order to patch over the shortfall, are talking about extending their nuclear power plants. So, Richard, the climate change is on the Secretary General's mind. What else is being overshadowed by the climate change and possibly the war in Europe? What are we missing out in this crisis, this, what you'd have to say, grand central of crises? Good evening to you, Richard.
Good evening, John. It is striking and quite disappointing to see the leader of the United Nations, the Secretary General, who has in the past made some helpful comments criticizing Russia, condemning Russia's invasion of Ukraine, but taking his premier opportunity, that once a year opportunity at the United Nations to address the General Assembly and all the world's leaders, and not leading with, not going hard on Russia, on Moscow, on Putin, calling on Russia to end the invasion, calling on Putin to withdraw from all Ukrainian territories, really papering over that as something that's going on, something we're monitoring, something unfortunate, but so much more hopefulness in the world. And he moves into other issues, as you mentioned, like climate change. He's dealing in right now with the unfortunate reality that the ineptitude, the deep inherent systemic flaws of the United Nations are on full display for the world. And so what is the leader of that body supposed to do, I suppose? You have two permanent members of the Security Council in Russia and China who are among the worst aggressors right now of violating international norms, treaties, and obligations. For Russia, we have the ongoing invasion, war crimes, crimes against humanity being conducted in Ukraine. And we've obviously had the use of chemical weapons, the support for Syria, for Iran, for other rogue states by the Russian leader for many, many years now. And at the same time, you have China, which is in the midst of a genocide of its Muslim population in Xinjiang, ongoing repression of the Tibetans, ongoing repression of the people of Hong Kong, broad-based human rights problems throughout the country. And of course, again, trying to vie to destabilize, unseat, surpass the United States and our democratic allies in control of world resources, in global security, and in standards within the private sector. And so we are faced with those challenges in addition to the ongoing challenges from Iran, its sponsorship of terrorism worsening, its human rights crackdown worsening, the ongoing challenges from North Korea that we face, other transnational threats of terrorism that continue, cybercrime and cyber attacks that continue. And yet the UN Secretary General can only talk about conferences and parties that he's organizing, dedicated to leading the world to crack down on the use of fossil fuels, while at the same time ignoring the devastating impact that you referenced on vulnerable populations, on the third world, that those choices would have.
The puzzle here, Richard, following the history of the United Nations, which was following the history of the League of Nations, is that the bodies were not organized to be newsrooms. There was always meant to be a resolution, which means enforcement in some fashion. Yes, the Secretary General mentioned Ukraine. Yes, he mentioned conflicts. However, the United Nations seems to be comfortable with the idea that We just get people together to talk about their differences. We don't seek to enforce our values. Is that where we are in the United Nations now? This has been 3 years off, and the United Nations seems, to my mind, to have retreated in some fashion from even a decade ago. How do you measure it, Richard?
I think it's, you know, a different paradigm to look at this. The Security Council is obviously given the mandate for enforcing and protecting, defending international peace and security. And right now it is unable to fulfill that mandate because of two permanent Security Council members who are at the forefront of destabilizing international peace and security and hold a veto power against any attempts to stop them from doing so, in Russia and in China. And so the UN as a larger body made up of many, many agencies that perform various functions, humanitarian services, development services, functional standard setting across technologies and other industries. Right? What is the UN Secretary General today? Right? Clearly not somebody who's going to use speeches for a moral compass that aligns with the Western value system. That's long gone. And I think that the speech we heard from the UN Secretary General shows us that is true. I think in many ways, he's simply the CEO of the world's largest nonprofit organization, if you will, where they spend billions and billions and billions of dollars on various work throughout the world, some of it wasted, some of it unaudited, some of it benefiting the world's worst criminals, thugs, human rights abusers. And when it comes to the actual ability to enforce or promote the supposed, quote unquote, liberal international order, the rules-based international order, the Secretary General has no power anymore. Perhaps never did.
Let's go to an issue that concerns us greatly, which is Iran's threat. Yes, we have Zaporizhia and a nuclear power plant in a conflict zone. I understand, but Iran has a suspect nuclear weapons program that the United Nations watchdog, IAEA, is said to be confronting evidence of the past depredations by Iran with regard to its nuclear weapons program. It was building a nuclear weapons program is one conclusion that can come from the evidence. This is the UN agency that has been active these years. Now, I'm not asking to settle the Vienna deal right now, but do you link the unfinished business of Iran to these protests that have erupted in Iran after the death of a young woman? Now, the Iran police, the Iran authorities, the besiegers have murdered children for years. Is this unusual to you, Richard, that these protests have taken to the street and that we're getting video on them? Is this evidence in some fashion that Iran has weakened, has backed off, that there's merit in pressing the case against the regime?
I would say all of these issues are linked in one important way, and that is there are a million reasons not to do the nuclear deal that is on the table in Vienna. And these are two major ones. Number one, you talked about the ongoing investigation by the International Atomic Energy Agency into undeclared nuclear activities inside Iran, sites, materials, activities linked to a nuclear weapons program that clearly in some way continues to this day. That is not to say that they are right now building a nuclear weapon in some underground tunnel today. We don't have evidence of that. What we do have evidence, overwhelming evidence, based on the seizure of the nuclear archive by the Mossad in 2018, the now discovery of multiple sites where nuclear material was found, commercial satellite imagery of containers being loaded with equipment, not in 2003, we're talking in 2018, that then suddenly disappeared from one site and still unaccounted for. There is clearly an architecture, a system in place to maintain the capability to break out and build nuclear weapons. The R&D that perhaps is continuing, the people involved, the materials involved are unaccounted for. Therefore, you cannot have a nuclear deal that legitimizes their nuclear program, lifts sanctions, and says, we know everything. We can verify the most robust inspections regime in history. When it's obvious in our face, they continue to conceal the nuclear weapons-related elements of that program. That's number one. Number two, This is the world's worst human rights abuser. What they do to women inside Iran is now finally coming to full view, beating women for not wearing hijab. What they do to LGBT activists, right now sentencing to death two LGBT activists inside Iran. What they do to religious minorities, right now one of the worst crackdowns on the Baha'i religious minority in the history of the Islamic Republic.
We have 30 seconds, Richard.
The list goes on, John. And if you are the Biden administration and you hold up your values of defending women's rights, defending LGBT rights, defending human rights, you've criticized President Trump for laying down on human rights repeatedly. You talk about a war on women. Well, we have video evidence of a war on women right now. And where is the leadership from the White House?
And where is the leadership from the United Nations to back up your own IAEA? Ask Richard Goldberg of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Welcome back, UN. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.